In honor of Father's Day coming up this weekend, our next segment is all about dads.
Now, in general, in the academic world, there's been much more research done on men than women in almost every area, except for one, parenting. When it comes to mothers and fathers, not many researchers have taken a close look at dads.
That's one of the reasons Jennifer Mascaro decided to study dads in some of her latest research. She's a biological anthropologist at Emory University, and she did a study to find out how dads interact with their children and if it's different when it comes to boys and girls. And the show's Lauren Gilger spoke with her more about this. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, so I did talk to her more about this, and this is the first study to combine the brain scans of fathers with behavioral data collected as they interacted with their children. I'll let Mascaro explain most of it, but basically they found that fathers with really young children, they were mostly ages 1 and 2, interacted and spoke quite differently with their daughters than they did with their sons. And it's the little boys that may be getting the short end of the stick here.
Fathers of daughters were singing more with their daughters, singing and whistling. They were more likely to have situations in which the daughter called out and the father responded. So they were more often attentively engaged. They were using different language. So they were using more language related to sad emotions and referencing body parts. So words like belly and cheek and feet. They were also using more of a type of language that we called analytical language, and this is quite a subtle finding, so I'll explain it a little bit. These are words like all, below, and much, and the idea here is that these are words that facilitate more analytical and complex discussions. And previous research has found that this type of language predicts academic success. In contrast, we found that the fathers of sons in our study were engaged in more rough and tumble play, and they were using more language related to achievement. So words like best and win and proud and top. And then the last thing that we found, we put all of these fathers in the fMRI scanner and we had them view photographs that we had taken of their children making happy, sad, and neutral facial expressions.
Okay.
And we found that fathers of daughters, their brains were responding more to their daughters' happy facial expressions than were the fathers of sons. In contrast, the fathers of sons had a more robust neural response to their sons' neutral facial expressions.
So this is fascinating because it's not right that fathers don't love their children equally. It's just that they are these sort of innate things, it sounds like, that we just approach children of different genders in different ways.
Yeah, I think I don't think our findings should be simplified to suggest that fathers are caring more for their daughters than our fathers of sons. These are just really complex gendered differences in interaction and language. But then with respect to your second question, that is sort of the million-dollar question from here. You know, we can't tell whether these differences are occurring because fathers have some innate, biologically based difference in how they interact with boys versus girls, whether they have different, notions about how one should interact with boys versus girls, you know, the more social interpretation, or whether the boys and girls themselves are actually directing or pulling different behaviors from fathers in biologically driven ways that are on the child's side. So we really can't differentiate any of those possible interpretations.
Right. It goes so much further than the stereotype that you think about their, you know, fathers want to play football with their sons and, you know, are protective of their daughters. You found things that sound very subtle and difficult to pick up on.
Right. And so the way we did the study, we had fathers wear a recording device that was recording random snippets of ambient sound from 48 hours in their lives. And so we got a lot of data from these fathers. And so it was a really powerful design that allowed us to uncover things that are harder to pick up on. For example, if you invite a father into a lab and ask them to interact with their child for 10 minutes, which is kind of how a lot of the previous research has been done.
So what are the implications of this then? I mean, and obviously this is speculation because we don't exactly know why fathers do these things, but would there be any logical result of this on their children's development?
Yeah, so another million-dollar question, and I really stress and emphasize that we can't definitively tie any of these findings with any implications. The best we can really do is to try to interpret these outcomes in light of other research. And so, for example, there is a lot of research out there now attesting to the importance of talking about emotions with young children. And so we can imagine that if fathers are doing this less with sons, there might be implications to that.
So I guess the value of this research also, so I am pregnant now, I should tell you, and we just found out it's a boy. So if you're a father, you know, a father of a son or a father of a girl, what are the things that they could take from this research and apply to try to counter some of these things maybe?
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It's hard not to look at studies like this from a very personal lens. And I do the same thing. I have two young boys. And, you know, I think it's not a stretch to say that talking about emotions and validating emotions with children is very important. And so the idea that potentially our subtle gendered notions about the way we interact may influence the way we do this with young boys is potentially important. And so I think that these types of studies can help us understand how potent these types of differences can be. I mean, these were very young children, age 1 and 2. And so whatever the underlying causative nature of this is, whether it's biological or social, it's showing up very early. And so I think understanding how powerful these types of gender differences are potentially helpful in reminding us to really think about how we're interacting with boys and girls. And, you know, most parents are really trying to do the best they can with their children to prepare them for the world. And so I think those are some of the take-home messages, at least, that I take home with me.
Okay. Jennifer Mascaro is a professor at Emory University's Department of Family and Preventive Medicine. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.